Sputnik Forward. Sputnik. On October 4, 1957, the Soviet Union launched the world's first man-made satellite, Sputnik 1, from the Baikonur Space Center in the Republic of Kazakhstan. Sputnik was 58 centimeters in diameter, weighed 83.6 kilograms, and orbited the Earth in 96 minutes and 12 seconds. On November 3rd of the same year, Sputnik 2 was successfully launched with the dog Laika aboard. Laika became the first living being to leave the Earth's atmosphere, but the satellite was never recovered, and Laika ended up sacrificed for the sake of biological research in space. From The Complete Chronicle of World History. Chapter 1. In the spring of her 22nd year, Sumire fell in love for the first time in her life. An intense love, a veritable tornado sweeping across the plains, flattening everything in its path, tossing things up in the air, ripping them to shreds, crushing them to bits. The tornado's intensity doesn't abate for a second as it blasts across the ocean, laying waste to Angkor Wat, incinerating an Indian jungle, tigers and all, transforming itself into a Persian desert sandstorm, burying an exotic fortress city under a sea of sand. In short, a love of truly monumental proportions. The person she fell in love with happened to be 17 years older than Sumire, and was married. And, I should add, was a woman. This is where it all began, and where it all wound up. Almost. At the time, Sumire, Violet in Japanese, was struggling to become a writer. No matter how many choices life might bring her way, it was novelist or nothing. Her resolve was a regular rock of Gibraltar. Nothing could come between her and her faith in literature. After she graduated from a public high school in Kanagawa Prefecture, she entered the liberal arts department of a cozy little private college in Tokyo. She found the college totally out of touch, a lukewarm, dispirited place, and she loathed it, and found her fellow students, which would include me, I'm afraid, hopelessly dull, second-rate specimens. Unsurprisingly then, just before her junior year, she just up and quit. Staying there any longer, she concluded, was a waste of time. I think it was the right move, but if I can be allowed a mediocre generalization, don't pointless things have a place too, in this far-from-perfect world? Remove everything pointless from an imperfect life, and it'd lose even its imperfection. Sumire was a hopeless romantic, set in her ways. A bit innocent, to put a nice spin on it. Start her talking and she'd go on nonstop. But if she was with someone she didn't get along with, most people in the world, in other words, she barely opened her mouth. She smoked too much, and you could count on her to lose her ticket every time she rode the train. She'd get so engrossed in her thoughts at times that she'd forget to eat, and she was as thin as one of those war orphans in an old Italian movie, like a stick with eyes. I'd love to show you a photo of her, but I don't have any. She detested having her photo taken. No desire to leave behind for posterity a portrait of the artist as a young woman. If there were a photograph of Sumire taken at that time, I know it would be a valuable record of how special certain people are. I'm getting the order of events mixed up. The woman Sumire fell in love with was named Miu. At least, that's what everyone called her. I don't know her real name, a fact that caused problems later on, but again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Miu was Korean by nationality, but until she decided to study Korean when she was in her mid-20s, she didn't speak a word of the language. She was born and raised in Japan and studied at a music academy in France, so she was fluent in both French and English, in addition to Japanese. She always dressed well, in a refined way, with expensive yet modest accessories, and she drove a 12-cylinder navy blue Jaguar.